The tricolor of colors is picked up elsewhere in the composition, in the blue of the workers' clothes, the white of their pipes and shirts, and in the red of the standing man's cravat. With their vivid color combinations and flat forms, playing cards may even have been an aesthetic significance to Cézanne, suggesting a model for his own practice. As early as 1876, he told Camille Pissarro about a landscape motif he was working on. "It's like a playing card," he wrote, "red roofs over the blue sea." For Cézanne, the formal elements, color, shape, texture, and composition ultimately trump narrative considerations. The marks we see on the card create a grid of compositional elements, and this places the card in a relationship to two analogous grids. The first consists of the larger collection of objects on the table, where the objects and spaces between them form a kind of tic-tac-toe pattern. The second is made up of the four figures themselves, each of whom occupies one of three distinct spatial zones, foreground, middle ground, background, as well as one of three different lateral positions, left, right, or center. This connection between objects and figures is even more evident in the largest work in the series of card players now at the Barnes Collection in Philadelphia, with Cézanne probably made soon after the Met painting. By adding a fifth figure into the background, the figures now represent the X schema formed by the objects on the table. The three remaining works in the series contain just two card players confronting each other in strict profile, a compositional idea that first appears to be in the two foreground figures in the Met's work. In these later paintings, the table is narrower and cleared of all objects with the exception of a centrally placed wine bottle. The two men study their cards intently, but no movement or move appears imminent. The details of the game have receded still further, and life has been stilled. Cézanne's card players, like many of his figures, occupy a space somewhere between the painting of figures and the painting of objects. They drift between different genres. A New Yorker cartoon exploits this drift to humorous effect. In it, Robert Mankoff let still life elements and game-playing details flood back into one of the artist's two-figure works. He fills up the card player's arms and table with piles of apples, reminding us of Cézanne's close association with the fruit. "I see your Granny Smith," runs the caption, "and I raise you a golden delicious." Cézanne's famous apples are now a specific type, as though straight from the supermarket. His figures are now not merely poker-faced, they are poker players. Though no money seems to be at stake in Cézanne's card games, commerce was certainly involved in the creation of the piece. By the 1890s, Cézanne was independently wealthy. He could comfortably afford to pay his models to pose, and the resulting works were made out of industrial-produced pigments usually applied to commercially manufactured standard-sized canvases, a number 25 in the case of the Met's work. Around the same time he finished the series, the artist struck up a relationship with the Parisian art dealer Ambroise Vollard, who then became the first owner of the Met's canvas. Vollard's business ledgers record that he made a tidy profit from the work, buying it for 250 francs, and in the early 1900s, selling it for 4,500. The enduring appeal of Cézanne's card players, though, may owe something to the way that the five paintings provide a distinct contrast to the modern capitalism that surrounds their creation. If life can seem increasingly fast, superficial, and mercenary, then perhaps some consolation can be found here in our prolonged engagement with handmade canvases showing a timeless, rooted, and social pastime.